Shel Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Shel.
Hi.
Well, this time of year, we can experience some really terrific hoar frost, but what is it and how does it happen?
Right. We can and have this winter. Gosh, February was just a fantastic month for terrific, really, in some senses, almost exceptional. Yeah, just some awesome displays. And so hoarfrost is, you and I have talked about how at this time of year, in particular, when the sun is out, getting to be a higher angle, and so it's greater intensity, that we lose some of our snow cover from something called sublimation. And sublimation is basically referring to the fact that water is going from, in the case of the snow disappearing, from a solid state directly to a gaseous or a vapor state, skipping that liquid state in between. Well, turns out sublimation can happen in the reverse direction too. And that is what is going on when we have hoarfrost. We have air that has a lot of moisture in it and actually is the result of that sublimation that's going on during the day when the sun is out and all that moisture is going up into the air. And so the air is developing a lot of relative humidity. And then as night comes on, it's got to be a clear night, one where heat is lost into the atmosphere quickly. So objects on the surface of the earth, whether it's the ground, the snow surface, or the surface of a lake, if it was ice, just ice, or all the trees, their needles, the branch tips, anything sticking up above the snow, are cooling down, losing heat to the air. And when they get below the freezing point, the air that's around them that still has moisture in it, that moisture will sublimate directly into a solid state as an ice crystal on those objects. And it happens slowly. In the case of hoarfrost, it's a slow process. It happens when the air is very still. So if there's wind, you're not going to get this. And so these large crystals that we've been seeing that are very feathery, or they can be, feathers are the most common, just as a general sort of shape for hoarfrost, or they can be long, kind of spindly collections of crystals too. They develop very slowly, kind of one at a time. And the longer the right conditions persist into the night, the bigger and bigger those crystals are. So we have had just some spectacularly long conditions, especially up in the treetops and so on. There are actually several different kinds. Air hoarfrost, or air hoar. And it's referring to those hoarfrost that develops on objects that are exposed to the air. Surface hoar refers to the hoarfrost that develops on the surface. So you can see these crystals sometimes right on the surface of the snow. Or, like I said earlier in the year, before our ice had snow on it, our pond and lake ice had snow on it, if we get just the right conditions, you'll see these big feathery crystals develop right on the surface of the ice and go out there and lay down and, look right through them and see them in, great profile and from lots of different angles. Then there's something called crevasse hoar, which, as you might imagine, refers to certain kind of conditions, very calm weather conditions where big hoar crystals develop inside crevasses because crevasses can collect moist air in them. And then, of course, the temperatures are of the surfaces in the crevasse are below freezing. And then there's also depth hoar, which is hoar crystals that develop underneath the snow in dry snow. So you might see these if you did a careful excavation to get a cross section of the whole snowpack and went right down to the ground. We've talked before about how the crystal change and metamorphose at different levels in the snowpack over time, and they can develop these hoar crystals too. We see them a lot when we have piles of bucked up wood for firewood that we eventually bring in during the winter. So the snow covers them up or covers the bases of them. And when we go out to take them in the winter, and so you excavate them out of the snow, we often see these hoar depth hoar crystals that are cup-shaped, real different shapes in those when we're taking out the wood and getting down into that drier zone beneath the snow. And here in Cook County, we can also see something that would be develop as a result of conditions akin to the crevasse hoar, which is if you go out on our rivers at all in the wintertime, you've seen that ice builds up sometimes to pretty great depths on the surfaces of the rivers, sometimes several feet, and it'll have cracks and fissures in it that because there's that warm, you know, warmer unfrozen water flowing beneath it, even if you can't see it, that there's moist air, warmer moist air down there. And as that air comes up through those cracks and fissures, you can see that it many places where it forms these beautiful, beautiful hoarfrost crystals. So these would be our sort of local equivalent of crevasse hoar.
I've noticed that hoarfrost is pretty prevalent on the sides of some of our big hills or the Sawtooth Mountains.
Yeah. The places that are furthest, that are highest up, are going to be in those perfect conditions longer than the places that are low down, because as the air temperatures cool at night, the heat is lost into the air, right? So it's moving up, and the cool air is moving down. So things cool off first down low.
Oh, so it's the whole heat rises thing.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And they continue to cool, and so the first hoar frost crystals will form at those lower, you know, elevations, but they're not going to hold the conditions as long, the perfect conditions of that, of also being bathed in the moister air as long. But up on the ridges, that's where the conditions are going to last the longest. Obviously, we can see that they do, you know. I can't prove it any other way than by looking up there and seeing it.
Jill Anderson regularly updates us with the goings-on in our woods and waters. Thanks for filling us in on hoarfrost.
You're welcome.